National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Pope Leo XIV is embarking on his first trip to Africa as Pope next week, with visits to Algeria, Cameroon, Angola, and Equatorial Guinea. What's the Pope's message? This week on Register Radio, we're joined by Father Don Bosco Onyala, Editor-in-Chief of ACI Africa. And then, the Holy Spirit is at work in Manhattan as shocking numbers of new and young Catholics are filling up our churches. Register Senior Writer Zelda Caldwell has the story. Hello, I'm Matthew Bunsen, Vice President, Editorial Director of EWTN News and host of Register Radio, joined as always by my co-host Shannon Mullen, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. How are you?
Hello, Matthew.
Well, as what is being considered the largest trip for Pope Leo XIV since his election last May, Africa awaits. The Holy Father will visit four African countries over 11 days, and he'll speak multiple languages while doing it. We're delighted to be joined once again by Father Don Bosco Onyala, Editor-in-Chief of ACI Africa. Father, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I know that you're in high gear preparing for Pope Leo's visit.
Thanks for having me, Matthew.
Yeah, Father, can you just give our listeners a quick outline of the Pope's itinerary, and if you know, why he chose those particular countries?
Thanks. The Holy Father is destined to four African countries, beginning from the 13th of April. This is next Monday. And he begins off with Algeria, which is a North African nation. And there he's to visit two cities, Algiers and Annaba. And then on the 15th of April, he goes to Cameroon. And in Cameroon, he is to visit three cities, which are actually three of the five archdioceses in Cameroon. He goes to Yaounde, which is the capital, then Bamida, and on to Douala, and back to Yaounde before he flies to Angola. In Angola, he goes there from the 18th to the 21st, and he is to visit Luanda, which is the capital city. He is to visit Marian Shrine in Muxima, and then São Remo. And then he goes to Equatorial Guinea, and there he has three cities, Malabo, which is the capital, Mongomo, and Bata. And he does that on the 21st, 22nd, and concludes his visit on 23rd. These four countries are linguistically diverse. So Algeria has Arabic and a bit of French. Cameroon has English and French. Angola has Portuguese, and Equatorial Guinea is the only African country that has a Spanish-speaking language as the official national language. So it's part of the reason I think he chose these four countries, to see how Africa is linguistically diverse, but also culturally diverse.
Yeah, the idea of that cultural diversity is, I think, very important to stress. I mean, starting in Algeria, that we can say that this is his first major test visiting a major Islamic country. What is going to be his message, especially in light of what's happening nearby, relatively speaking, in Iran and across the Middle East?
Of course, even before I mention the reason, the message would be to also underscore the fact that Pope Leo is visiting Africa from a familiar territory. He's been to Africa multiple times when he was the provincial superior of the Augustinian fathers, and he has been to Eastern, to Western, to Central Africa, to Northern, and to the Southern. So the messages that he will have revolve around pastoral, social, and geopolitical themes. In Algeria, there is the aspect of interreligious dialogue and a witness of a minority church in a Muslim-dominated area. In Cameroon, he would one wants to see perhaps peace building, national reconciliation, given the crisis that has affected a section of the country, the Anglophone crisis, as it's called, security challenges. And this is specifically in a place called Bamida, where he will be going. In Angola, would be more of a spiritual renewal and social hope for the people, because the country has had a war experience, and that now they are into a peace regime. So there is inequality despite wealth from the oil that they export. So it will be spiritual renewal and social hope. Equatorial Guinea is an affirmation of the strong Catholic identity. It's a country that has a huge Catholic population. And so I think his visit there affirms that identity. So you can see also the diversity of themes around his visit that also represent what Africa is in its diversity.
Father, Pope Leo is a missionary, and he's also an Augustinian. How do those two aspects of the Holy Father factor into this, the context of this trip?
I think that might have informed the trip. First of all, the diversity of these countries in Africa, Algeria, that has a Muslim majority, but also that is associated with the St. Augustine of Hippo, who is the founder of his congregation. So I think it's a good start for Africa to be in touch with where his founder of the congregation came from. So that's perhaps even the reason why he begins from there. It gives him he's in touch with the roots of his congregation, and then moves on to Cameroon and has this Anglophone, Francophone diversities in the country. Some areas have peace, but other areas have no peace. The fact that the church is so much involved in education and the health sector. So he goes to affirm all these aspects of the Catholic presence there. And as a missionary, these are also countries where there is a huge missionary presence. The population in Algeria is, the Catholics there, a good number are actually foreigners, and they are missionaries. So his presence there, I think, also affirms them. Then Cameroon, Angola, has already sent out missionaries. So his presence there also affirms their identity, both as having been evangelists, baby missionaries, and now sending out missionaries. So I think it informed his visit to Africa and the selection of these countries.
Yeah, Africa is hailed as the fastest growing part for the church around the world. It is growing by leaps and bounds and has been for many years. What, from your standpoint, again, with respect to the diversity that we're stressing here, but what are some of the messages that you're hearing from African Catholic leaders that they're wanting to hear from Pope Leo?
Obviously, ahead of such visits, the Pope would be in touch with the apostolic nuncios in these respective countries he will visit. What's coming out from our reports as SCI Africa from the ground is a hope that the leaders, but even ordinary people, are looking forward to the Holy Father affirming and giving messages of hope. And I think this is also a follow-up on the past year, which had these pilgrims of hope as the theme of the Jubilee. And I think this is a repeated expectation from our reports and interactions with the people.
Father, it's such a heavy schedule. You're going to be very busy. What parts of the journey are you in particular looking forward to?
Personally, I intend to go to Equatorial Guinea, and I will be there 3 days before the Pope arrives there. So from the 18th to the 24th, he leaves on 23rd. So specifically, I will be in a place called Malabo, which is the capital city of Equatorial Guinea. And so I will be able to go to the places where he will go. And even before he arrives, I look forward to interacting with the people in how they are preparing to receive him and what the expectations are and what they hope for in the papal visit. But at the same time, I am coordinating our collaborators in Cameroon. So we have a full-time staff for SAI Africa based in Douala, and he will be able to move around with a videographer to be in Yaoundé, but also in Bamida. But the same reporter, as the Pope moves to Angola, he will move to a region of Equatorial Guinea because Cameroon borders Equatorial Guinea. So he will be able to cover part of that. And then in Angola, we also have a full-time SCI Africa as a journalist. So that's how we have planned our coverage as SCI Africa.
Yeah, and for people who will be following this trip closely, as we're covering this, picking up the Vatican streams and sort of following Pope Leo as he makes his way across these four countries, what is your advice to a viewer or especially to a reader of what should they be looking forward to and what should they be paying attention to in terms of what the Holy Father has to say?
Yeah, in my view, it would be to look at this from a positive perspective. There is the inclination to push for some negativity or some areas of concern. For example, ahead of this visit, that those who are asking, but will the Pope be very much secured? Is he going? Is there enough security in these countries that he's visiting? I think it's to look forward to the messages he will have, which I think will be informed by research and by the nuncios that he has on the ground, and that he will be speaking from an informed perspective. So it's to look forward to his messages. And I also think it's look forward to what will be highlighted from journalists who are Catholic on the ground, in terms of what people expect from the Holy Father before he arrives, and perhaps after he leaves the place, what have they retained from his visit, like a follow-up.
Yeah, well, thank you. And Father, I know that we are all looking forward to your ongoing coverage and to reading your articles, and thank you for everything that you've been doing. This is going to be a remarkable trip.
Thanks for this opportunity. We look forward to this initial visit. And personally, I'm happy that he is coming to Africa, not as a visitor, but he has been here before multiple times. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is he will be talking about, he has, in a way, already heard it. And so it is from a knowledge perspective. And that's, I think, helpful for Africa.
Well, thank you, and God bless.
God bless.
You're listening to Register Radio here on EWTN Radio. Next, we talk with Register senior writer Zelda Caldwell about a Catholic surge in Manhattan. Don't go anywhere.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back to Register Radio. I'm Matthew Bunsen here with Shannon Mullen, as always, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. Well, as regular listeners and readers know, over the last year or so, the Register has been taking a look, a long look, at Catholic hubs, cities, and even parts of cities where the Catholic faith is flourishing. We continue that long look with Register senior writer Zelda Caldwell, who has just finished her report on the latest hub, and it may come as a bit of a surprise to everyone. It's a hub of the hub. New York's Let's just say NYU's Catholic Center, and she has another great piece, too, that the Holy Spirit is moving in Manhattan. Zelda, always great to have you back.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So it might strike some people as an obvious thing that the Catholic Church is strong and present, at least in Manhattan, and yet this has been full of surprises, hasn't it?
Yes, it's surprising in the sense that in New York City, particularly places like Greenwich Village, which you think of more as a place with like a vibrant nightlife, lots of young people in, you know, coming into the city, getting jobs in the financial sector, like the last place you'd imagine them going to is Catholic Mass. But that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, Zelda, this I think is my new favorite of your hub stories, and they've all been so good. This one you teamed up with Jeff Bruno, the photojournalist who is in New York, you know, most days, you know, chronicling Catholic life there. And there is, if you could just give us a little bit of an overview of what's happening and what you found there to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should really give a credit to Jeff because he's, I believe, the one that tipped us off to what was going on. He said, something is going on in Manhattan. And there are a few parishes there, St. Joseph's in Greenwich Village, and St. Vincent Ferrer in the Upper East Side, and Old St. Patrick's in the Lower East Side, that are just experiencing something that their pastors say is a revival. Young people are flocking to their churches. It's standing room only for the young adult masses, the ones that are usually like on Sunday evening. And the pastors are saying every week they have someone coming, knocking on their door saying, I want to become a Catholic.
Yeah, I want to send everybody to your pieces at ncregister.com, A, to read them, but also to take a look at the photos that Jeff has taken. He is always such a superb photographer, capturing the moments here. But one of the things that is so interesting to me is how the Dominicans and others who are sort of spearheads in this remarkable movement, they've been tracking this for a while now. And I know I've been to Mass myself at one or two of these churches over the years, and it is striking that each time I've gone, I have noticed that we have an increase in attendance. And so first, I guess, when did this start from their standpoint, and what are the reasons for this? Why are young people suddenly being drawn to the faith?
Well, it's been slowly increasing. In the case of St. Joseph's, the church in Greenwich Village, the Dominicans, Cardinal Dolan, asked them to come in and take over that church. They had already been in charge of the chaplaincy at nearby New York University, where they still are. But they came in and they made a few changes. The church had suffered from a sort of a beigeification in the 70s, and they had removed the confessional. Well, the Dominicans brought it back. They brought back two confessionals. They brought back a very Dominican reverence to the Mass. And slowly people started coming back to the church. Last year, I think they had 40 people in their OCIA class, and they thought this was amazing. This year, it was more than double that, 88 people. They've got, they have a contemporary music Mass that attracts the young adults, and they've had it for a while, and young people like it, and so they're sticking with it. But that draws people in, and it's just striking that to see, like, to go by St. Joseph's in the evening after Mass, you'll see hundreds of people just on the sidewalk talking to each other. And they form sort of an adult Catholic, young adult Catholic community there.
Yeah, St. Joseph's in particular, Zelda, has gotten a lot of mainstream media coverage. The New York Times, the Washington Post, Fox News. Yours is the best story.
Of course.
and here's why. first of all, I think not everybody picked up on the Dominican angle and the Dominican liturgies. And secondarily, not everybody realized that there's this three-parish dynamic that's going on there, as your story really fleshes out. What is the relationship between these parishes?
What they have in common?
Yeah.
Well, St. Joseph's and St. Patrick's, it's Old St. Patrick's, also known as St. Patrick's Old Cathedral on the Lower East Side. The pastor there told me that they have a very traditional liturgy, and people are craving the tradition of the church. And you see the same thing at St. Joseph's, at the regular Mass, not the one with the contemporary music, but even with the contemporary Mass, the homilies, the prayers, everything is the best of the history of the church. It's you're getting
the real deal.
I'm sorry. Yes. You're getting. This is not like cafeteria Catholicism. One of the pastors at St. Patrick's told me the people coming into the church are not looking for, you know, just a little bit of the Catholic Church. They're all in. And that's what's being offered at St. Joseph's, at St. Patrick's, and at St. Vincent, which St. Vincent Ferrer, you get more of a young adult. That's also run by Dominicans. You get more of a young adult parishioners coming in. And they're doing everything they can to welcome them and to bring them into the life of the church. There are opportunities for them to volunteer. A lot of people, some people have criticized what's going on in St. Joseph's as like, this could be a flash in the pan. It's just a lot of young people, they'll find something else next week. But the way these churches are, they've got a plan. They want to keep these people and get them involved in the life of the church, treat them, you know, so they can serve and be served by the church.
But I noticed, too, in your reporting, you talk about the fact that there are so many other activities in the parish. There are programs and formation programs, but it's also just people coming together in sort of a very traditional way of a parish as the heart of life in a particular neighborhood or part of a city. So, I mean, I'm assuming that that's playing a role here, too.
Yes, at St. Joseph's, after the Sunday Young Adult Mass, they have a wine and cheese get-together with a talk from one of the Dominicans. And I went down there on a Sunday night, and it was, before the talk started, it seemed like, I don't know, like a kind of like a single scene. There was definitely, community was definitely the point. It wasn't a situation where people were coming to hear a dry talk. They're coming to meet each other. In fact, there have been some jokes about how that's sort of where you find your husband is at St. Joseph's. And then you go up, you know, after a couple years, you know, if you stay in New York, you go up to Vincent Ferrer, and then that's where you have your baby.
Well, you also you talked with Father Endorf, who's the Dominican pastor here. And there was a quote that you have from him that is written to that point, which says that there are people that will tell me I'm not really on board with the church on a lot of things. And then 2 years later, they say, I'll only date Catholics.
Exactly. That's what he's seeing. So,
yeah, Zelda, you also touch on in your piece the role that social media influencers are having in a sort of a nuanced way. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, there's this... So this guy named Anthony Gross, he posts on Instagram these videos ranking Catholic churches in Manhattan. And, you know, it's kind of ridiculous in a lot of in a way. I mean, how can you rank a Catholic church? But it's getting a lot of attention, too. And there's another fellow I interviewed, Daniel McKenna. He's this Irish guy, a personal trainer. And he's been posting about the St. Joseph Mass, too. But what's been happening is that you're getting a secondary sort of wave of people who see these social media posts, and they're going to the young adult masses. So the social media didn't create this. It's just building it.
Yeah, it's striking that this is a very organic kind of a process that we're seeing. But this is also playing out, and we've been covering these hubs now. It's to me, really interesting how similar so many of these stories are of young people, especially who are looking for something solid, stable that anchors them in tradition. So, I mean, would you say that this hub is consistent with what you've seen?
Yes, absolutely. I think, they're looking for tradition. They're looking for hard truths. The priests don't just make it easy. They talk about exactly like what you have to do to be a good Christian.
Yeah, what we actually believe.
Right. And they talk about sin, and they talk about all these things you wouldn't think young people want to hear about, but they actually do. They're staying. They're telling their friends too. I met a lot of people who are going because their friends invited them.
I know, just to close things out, I know you came back from this reporting assignment really excited and encouraged. But what was something that an experience, a moment that you had while you were there that sort of sticks in your mind or made a big impression on you?
Absolutely. It was being at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in person. I got there about 15 minutes early, and there was one folding chair left, and I felt a little guilty about taking it, but I did. And then I looked behind me, and there were like 200 people in the narthex, and I thought, well, they'll see that it's full and they'll leave, but they stayed there for the whole Mass, and it was just to look around and see all these young people. It was really inspiring.
Yeah. Well, Zelda, we'll leave it there, and I look forward to the next hub.
All right.
We don't want to give away any spoilers.
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much. Well, that's it for Register Radio for this week. Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Until next week, on behalf of our producer, Michael McCall, and Shannon Mullen, I'm Matthew Bunsen. Please take care, keep the Holy Father in your prayers as he's traveling, and God bless.